right, Psalm 36. This morning, if you have your Bibles, good to be in the Lord's house. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Yes, sir. I don't know why I've had that 36 in my mind this morning. It was Psalm 136. I was like, no, it's not Psalm 136. It's Psalm 34. Now I dropped 100 from it and went to Psalm 36. But it's Psalm 34 this morning, Psalm 34. And we'll be in verses 1 through 3 this morning. Psalm 34, we'll begin reading in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We're looking this morning at united in praise. United in praise. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this opportunity once again to be in your house. And I just ask you, Lord, to meet with us. Ask you to give me the words that you'd have me to say as I seek to encourage your people. This morning in the area of praise and thanksgiving and just making much of you this time of year. And I just ask your blessing on this time as your word is taught from and preached from. In Jesus' name, amen. David, a man after God's own heart, is an example to us in many ways. But one of his most exemplary traits is that he made a choice whether things were good or things were bad, that he was going to bless the Lord. Sounds like Job in Job 1, verse 21, when Job said, "And naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We would recognize that it's easy to bless the Lord when he's giving, but it can be hard to bless the Lord when he takes away. Nobody struggles hardly ever to bless the Lord in season of addition, but it's in the seasons of subtraction that we struggle. But it's in those seasons of subtraction that reveals our true nature. I was thinking about Miss Elaine Willis, one of the widowed missionaries that we supported to Honduras. She went home to be with the Lord last week. And in the email from her secretary to our church, she said this, "Amen, because there is heaven. Amen, because of the gift of salvation. Amen, because life is in Jesus." You see, true nature is revealed here during a season of loss for that ministry that she was involved in. That heaven is real, that salvation is real, and it's all because of Jesus. And Jesus was blessed even in this season of loss for that ministry and that church there in Honduras. The word bless in context means to praise, to glorify, to magnify. So the idea is to lift up God at all times. At all times, magnify him, which is to make him big. At all times, brag on him, which is to make him look good. You know, the picture is all in how you paint it. Sometimes God don't look good because of how we paint the picture. And we know he is good. But sometimes we don't make him look good because of the picture that we paint of him. God is good when you're not doing too good. So we bless him at all times. And that's what David is saying. David, in a declaration, states this, "I will bless the Lord." It was declarative here. He's making a declaration. "I will bless the Lord." He goes on to say that his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually, the word continually means without pause, unceasingly, very often, in repeated succession. And then he gives an example along with the definition. As the ocean is continually rolling its waves on the shore. So you think about the ocean. I love going to the ocean. I like going to the ocean. I like looking at the waves. Some of that I was stationed in Hawaii, and every chance I could, if it was lunch break or it was something like that, I'd go on Marine Corps Base Hawaii, and I'd just park and I'd eat my lunch right by the water, right by the ocean. And I loved hearing the ocean. And now it's practically in me. after them 4 years of being there. So I like going to the ocean. I like to think about the ocean. But you think about the ocean and the waves roll onto the shore, wave after wave after wave. The ocean never stops moving. 24/7, 365, the ocean continually rolls on the shore, wave after wave. And David is saying in this psalm that the praises of God will continually be in his mouth. Now, it only makes sense that if the praises of God would be in his mouth, that the praises of God must also be in his mind and in his heart. After all, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, is what the Bible says, which means before you ever said it, it was a matter of your heart. So our speech reveals something about who we are at our root. Our speech reveals our very constitution. It reveals who we are. If your speech is critical, then you have criticism in your heart. If your speech is rebellious, then you have rebellion in your heart. If your speech is contentious, then you have contention in your heart. If your speech is prideful, then you have pride in your heart. We could go on and on. Our speech indicates who we are, but it also communicates to everyone else who we are. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is where the principle comes from. The abundance, that's the key word here. Your speech is the overflow of your heart. We all have some rebellion in our hearts, if we're honest. We all have some contention in our hearts, if we're honest. We all have some pride in our hearts. We all have some ungratefulness in our hearts. And at times it reveals itself. But when the heart is abundantly consumed with these sins, your speech will reveal it. But on to the flip side. The abundance of David's heart was blessing towards God. It was praise towards God. David was a man that at his very constitution was praising God. And because he was, his speech was. And we think of praise. Praise means to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. Psalm 148:1 says, praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. When you praise God, it makes him look good. It makes God sound good. It elevates God to where he should be. We do this in our words. We do this with our life. We magnify him. He takes center stage in our life. It goes without saying, but when you have your focus on someone, you notice what they do. You notice their actions. You notice their works. You are intimately familiar with them. And some people don't have praise because they aren't intimately familiar with and focused on a good God. When you're intimately familiar with and focused on a good God, you cannot miss out on all his goodness. David made declarations. And I encourage you to make declarations in your life, even today. Decide like David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what life brings my way, regardless of how easy, how hard, it doesn't matter. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David continues here in verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We see the word shall again. It's declarative. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Boast means to brag on, to exalt, to magnify. Now, we know how to boast. Sometimes we just don't boast in the right person. We have no problem at times boasting about others, boasting about our family, maybe boasting about our kids, boasting about our wives or husbands, and boasting about their accomplishments. And there's nothing wrong with being proud of one another over accomplishments, but we should never lose sight of the fact that at the root of all those accomplishments is a good God. God should never be the one behind the scenes that gets a subtle nod while we elevate and promote one another. We know how to boast about ourselves too, which is never good. boasting about money made or boasting about career or boasting over accomplishments in life. And by the way, truly accomplished people don't have to spend all day talking about their accomplishments. Their accomplishments speak for themselves. Only people who feel insecure in their accomplishments or lack of accomplishments boast their accomplishments or make up accomplishments. The Bible says to let another man praise thee. That means it's not for you and I to praise ourselves. It's not for you and I to elevate ourselves. It's not for you and I to magnify ourselves, which is to draw attention to ourselves. It was John the Baptist who said, he must increase and I must decrease. And that can be applied to all of us. And when we keep this proper order, then it is God who is big and we are in his shadows rather than we are big and God is in our shadows. David in his declaration says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So what's the result of not only David's declaration, but David's follow through on his declaration? Says the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble. I still think in a day when people are overall sad, overall unhappy, overall discontent with life, with their circumstances, I still think it's a good thing to help make those who are sad glad. And David is saying, when I boast about God, it's going to make some glad. Not all. We don't see that all work. Just the humble. See, those who are caught up in pride, see, they won't be glad because they aren't getting the praise. They aren't being magnified. They aren't being glorified. They aren't being exalted. The prideful don't want to give God glory, honor, and praise. They want the glory that rightfully belongs to the Heavenly Father, just like their father, the devil. The devil wants all God's glory, wants all God's honor. And when the devil gets all up in a person, they don't want to give God glory. They'll say things like, God didn't make that money. I made that money. God didn't go to school for 40 hours a week to get that degree, those degrees. I did that. God didn't accomplish all this. God didn't work that job for 50 years. God didn't make those millions. God wasn't out there breaking his back, getting calluses on his hands. But what they fail to realize is that it was a good God that gave them the brain to use, the eyes to see, the hands to touch, the legs to walk into that classroom, the legs to walk into that job. It was the breath of life that God gave them. And it was God that woke them up every single day and kept them alive throughout all those days and all those years. And I tell you right now, the prideful won't be glad when God is boasted of, but the humble will. The humble know they are who they are because of God. The humble know they have a home, they have a car, they have a job, a means of financial stability and security, a family, a life worth living, all because of God. So when you boast of Jesus Christ, the humble will be glad because the humble will be reminded that God is good. And it's the goodness of God that brings a smile to our faces. And it's the goodness of God that puts a little pep into our step. And it's the goodness of God that makes a hard life worth living. It's the goodness of God that at times brings a tear to our eyes. And it's the goodness of God that also leads the humble to a greater degree of humility when they're reminded of all that God has done and continues to do for the likes of you and I. In verse 3, we see, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. David now encourages the congregation to get in on magnifying God. You see, magnifying God is not a spectator sport. It's something that everyone could be and should be doing. And the more people we have magnifying God, the bigger he becomes. Not only in our eyes, but in the eyes of others, which means greater reach. Today, all the rage is how many views. How many views? How many views? How many views? Views represents an audience. Many views represent, in some cases, a large audience. With a larger audience comes greater influence, greater impact. But not just some of us, but all of us. The more views a good God will have. You see, God is so good, if people can just get to see him, that'll make all the difference. If we can just at times sit down, if we can get out of the way, if we can promote him to the point that we are behind the scenes, that's when God is seen for who and what he is. And he's then able to perform his best work. David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Notice that phrase, "let us exalt his name together." Exalt means to elevate in estimation and praise, to magnify, to praise, to extol. Then David says the key word, together. Together means in the same place, in the same time, together with, in union with, in company or mixture with. Now, isn't this what the church is for? To make God big, to make God look good. Now, we can do this with our praise. We can do this with our lips. But we can also do this with our lifestyle. And by the way, I still believe actions speak louder than words. You can go out into town and you can go out into work and you can go around your friends and family and people that know you. And you can talk a big game and you can talk a big God. But if your walk don't match, you're not going to have any influence on them. You're not going to have any impact on them at all. I still believe there are people today that don't want to be around salesman Christians. They want to be around real Christians. They don't want to be around people that are always trying to manipulate this way or manipulate that way and try and contrive this way and contrive that way. They want to be around real believers, real Christians, people who they say, you know what, they not only talk a big game. They not only talk that they're different, but their life is different. How they live is different. They're different than anybody else in the workplace. Not their speech necessarily, but also how they live, how they conduct themselves. It's different. We praise God with our actions. I've said this before. You think about outside. You think about the plants, the trees, and the animals. They know no English. There's no English there, but they're praising God. They're praising God in their works. They're praising God in their actions by being what God designed them to be. They'll never be able to open up their mouth, per se, and speak in a language that we could understand and praise God that way, but they praise God every single day. Just by doing what God created them to be. There are two parts to us praising God. It's with our vocabulary, but it's also with our lifestyle. It's also by our actions. It's by our testimony. Now, this is what we're here for. This is what the church is here for, to make God big, to make God look good. It's sad today when churches have to change their name to then be order, to be able to erase some things from the past, to then be able to start making God look good. To get a new testimony, to get a new reputation within the community. That's sad because that's not what the church was put there for. The church was put there to elevate God, to make God look good, not bad. To make much of him, to lift him up, to promote him when we gather. We don't gather to elevate each other. We don't gather to elevate Living Proof. We don't gather to elevate special music. We don't gather to elevate the pastor. We gather to elevate God. And special music and Living Proof and singing of hymns and teaching of the word and preaching of the word is just the means to the ultimate end of making much of God. We can never worship the means instead of the ultimate end, which is to bring honor and glory to God. Which means you don't worship the singer. You worship the one they're singing about. You don't worship the preacher. You worship who the preacher's preaching of. That's who you worship. That's one thing that's turned off a lot of people. So Christianity is when we start elevating man. Because let me tell you, you can elevate God and people know by and large, they may not like it, but they know by and large that even if they don't like him, referring to God, they know he's more worthy to be praised and elevated than any of us. They already know that. So we might as well quit trying to elevate each other and elevate God. I'm up here today for him. You should be here today for him. Not because it's Sunday again, not because this is what you were told to do or supposed to do, or someone be upset with you if you didn't come. Come for him. Come for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I encourage you, come for him. This upcoming Tuesday night, we're going to have a pie and praise. Living Proof's going to sing some. We'll have some other special music, hymn singing. No preaching, but we'll open up the floor for testimonies. And, you know, it gives us a time not to promote ourselves, not to promote this church, not to promote our families, but to promote God and what he's done for us. His blessings on us. It's centralized. It's a concentrated effort of togetherness as a church to praise God together. I've never left a pie and praise and not been encouraged. We've hosted about six of them. It gives God's people the opportunity to just brag on him. Amen. For saving them, to brag on God for changing their life. To brag on God for the fact that they sit in church now when they used not to. I've heard some testimonies at times up there in Mansfield that blew some people's minds because they just didn't know. They just didn't know somebody had been through all that. They just didn't know somebody had done all that and blew their minds. They say, you know what? Now here they are. Look what God did. Had to be God. Setting folks free from drinking and drugs or lives of immorality. There was a lady who gave a testimony who was promiscuous for the better part of 30 or so years, been married multiple times, and then the Lord saved her and changed her life, and she had going on 30 years with her husband now. It blew people's minds. They didn't know that. She was faithfully attending. She was singing in the choir. She was involved in the church. She was involved in service. She was bringing people to church. She was teaching a class. And it just blew people's minds. Because they see somebody sometimes, and even sometimes they see the preacher. They see other people that are serving. And they see where they are now, but they don't know the road it took to get there. And sometimes I'll tell you, it's a blessing when the people of God just open up about where God has brought them. Now, you'll have times where people don't understand. You'll have that from time to time. I had people come to me a couple of times. You know, I can't believe they did that. I never did that. I never did that kind of stuff. They just missed the whole point. When you should just kind of be in awe. Not so much about what they did. Not so much about where they bent. Forget all that. Look at what God did. Amen. Look at what God did. Don't miss the point of the praise time and get hung up on what people did. What people used to do and what people used to be. No, look at where God brought them. Amen. Look at what God did. Praise that God can change their life. Again, some of the testimonies I've heard at some of these things, they make God glad. And they make the devil sad. And that's the whole point. The whole point's making God look good. And if there's one thing that stands out from just these three verses, is that the praise that belongs to our Lord God is not something that should be left to just a few people. But it should extend to all of those who have placed faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As we, as a church, we should be united in praise. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you.